So I kissed all of them old and went over to bed. But it is good to be here today. I have a word of the Lord for you. And I do believe, I've decided that through the end of the year, we're going to have some, obviously you get Thanksgiving coming and Christmas coming and New Year's coming and you get all those holidays coming. And then I'm not always relegated to preaching seasonal type messages, but sometimes they're just there and you do. I really want to get back to basics, the things that we know we ought to do, and that we ought to be doing. And if there's areas where we've let down, we need to be stronger at doing that. But today I want to talk to you about, listen, we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil. The Bible says, devil, Satan, Lucifer, enemy, it's all the same, who is like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have an enemy of our souls. If you don't think that you're in a battle, then you ain't doing something right. If everything just goes smooth and you ain't ever had a problem, then you ain't doing enough to upset the apple cart to get the enemy fired up in the first place. All right? Those kind of people, you just leave alone because they ain't really doing anything anyhow. That's not us. I saw something on Facebook the other day. Somebody posted. It says they want to be that when they wake up in the morning that the devil goes, uh-oh, she's up. Well, you know what? That's the way we want it to be for us, isn't it? That we want it to be that the enemy is irritated that we're awake and we're up. Here's what I want you to know. Have you ever had a thought come to your mind? I had a thought come to my mind the other day. Listen, I am not suicidal. Love God. I love me. I ain't ever been suicidal. But the other morning I'm walking, and when I'm walking, this bus comes by and doesn't see me. And a voice in my head says, jump right out of that bus. Really, it did. Well, I ain't going to jump under no bus, but I was irritated that the thought come to my mind. Just because a thought comes to you don't mean it's your thought. Amen. Then I started laughing at the devil.
You're not walking in the dark.
I know that would mess you. And Kim would never do that because that would mess up her hair. And she, you wouldn't need a flat iron. But listen, look, I never considered that. That's like, it's been so long since I've done drugs or alcohol, and I've never smoked. But every once in a while, I'd go in a store, and I'd look up there, and there'd be those little cigar tips, and I'd go, and a voice would go, why don't you get you one of them cigars? Well, I ain't going to get no cigar, but it irritated me that came to my mind, because I had never smoked cigars, right? But that's what the enemy does. And so, if we got to the point where what is the biggest insult that you could give somebody is laugh in their face. I started thinking about that, and I go, literally I was in my prayer time, and I go, enemy, you're such a liar and the father of all lies. And I started laughing. The biggest insult that you can give anybody is just to laugh right in their face. So I started laughing at him. Listen, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. We have an adversary who's like a roaring lion who wants to devour us. He's the enemy of our souls. He wants to snuff us out and he wants to kill us, but he's a liar. Listen, lots of people, when they were in the womb, the devil tried to kill them. The doctor told them there's no way that this is going to happen. There's no way that you're going to deliver this baby and the baby be healthy and live a productive life. And they'll tell you that. Then, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, if the devil wasn't trying to kill me, and I was trying to help him at some points, and some of the crazy stuff, not that I was suicidal, but just the stupid stuff I did. But you know what? How come I'm still here? Because been trying to kill me, and the devil's been trying to kill you ever since you've been born. But you know why he hasn't? Because he can't.
Amen.
He can't. So if the worst thing that he can do to you is kill you and send you to heaven, which is that's where we all say we want to go, but he really can't, then he's like a lion, like a roaring lion. He's got that big roar. He's got that big bark, but he can't get to you because God has been protecting you. Well, what exactly is it? Listen, you're in a battle, but God has given us all something for that battle. And that's the anointing. He's given us the anointing for that battle. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to go to verse 27. Nice boots, man. No, I like them. I'd wear them. I wouldn't be very fast in them, but I'd wear them. I ain't very fast in light boots, so it don't matter. 1 John 2:27, are you there? But you, okay, look here. I want you to see who that is. But you and me have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within us. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Why don't we need anybody to teach you what is true? Because we have the Spirit of God within us, okay? And so it's a witness to us. The Holy Spirit is a witness to us that what we... Listen, if you blow it, you don't have to worry about knowing that you're blowing it. The Holy Spirit goes, don't do that. You're getting ready to blow it. He always has done that. If we've gotten to the point that we don't have a filter anymore, and we just keep on doing stuff that we know we're not supposed to be doing, and we're trying to justify why we're doing it, and we don't have a filter, let me tell you something, that's a problem. Because you don't have to worry about knowing if you're going to blow it or not. The Spirit of God will check you in your spirit to say you're about to blow it. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you don't have to worry about other people teaching you what's true, because when you got the Spirit in you, then you'll know that you get that check in your spirit to know that that sounds right. Yes, that sounds right. That is right. Or no, that's not right. We've got that Spirit, that check mechanism on the inside of us to know what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. This is out of the New Living Translation. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So here's the deal. The Spirit of God will check you. But there will also be a witness in the Scripture to back. In other words, you don't just go Lone Ranger out there. I've heard a lot of people that say, okay, well, I know, but that's just what God told me. If God told you, he'll give you Scripture to back it up. That's always true. He'll always give, and there will always be witnesses to that Scripture that is true. Okay? So, you need to understand that Scripture is true. God will speak to you, but it will always line up with the Scripture. And we need to make sure that we're not just out there roaming and, you know what? In other words, you don't want to be a granola Christian. You don't want to be a fruit flake or nut. And there are people out there that are fruit flakes and nuts because they're not listening. They go and get a word, or they go and hear something in their spirit, but they don't spend enough time in the Scripture to find out what is it the Spirit is trying to tell them. There always will be a witness within the Scripture. Okay? There are people who have started cults because they took one portion of a Scripture. You know, a lie always starts with a portion of the truth to make it believable. this. So that's what the enemy does. He'll take a portion of a truth and twist it to make it to where it's more believable, more acceptable. Because, you know, we probably just won't go flat out and do something that's wrong. But we've been anointed with the Spirit of God to know what it is we need to do. The Holy Spirit is also, in the Greek, it's called Parakletos, or the Helper. We have the Helper with us. That's why it says, when you don't know how to pray, don't worry about not knowing what to pray, because the Spirit of God will pray through you. He does. The Spirit of God will literally pray through us. The perfect will of God every time when we pray in the Spirit. It's a great thing about being anointed with the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. But He's the divine enabler to enable us to do what it is that God's called us to do. It's God's supernatural ability added to our natural ability, giving us supernatural ability to succeed at what God's called us to do. In other words, it's Him in us, using us to accomplish what it is that He's placed on our heart to do. We will face battles. Look, mark it down. In this world, you will have trouble. That's in the red. But take heart in this. I have overcome the world. In other words, it's not that you're not going to have any trouble. It's not that you're never going to have a problem. What it is, like he said, Paul said, look, I prayed. Here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So everybody goes around saying, well, Paul had this oozing eye disease called ophthalmia, and he had this deep stuff dripping out of his eyes, and wouldn't you want him to lay hands and anoint you and heal you, which he went off to. He's raising the dead, but he's got some oozing eye disease. Some people go, the thorn in the flesh was his wife. But, you know, he said, what did Paul say? He said, I wish that you could all be like me, which means that he was living single. As a member of the Jewish community that he was a part of, he had to be married at one point, but we don't ever read during the time that he was saved that he was married. So I don't know if his wife passed or whatever, but just to be qualified to do some of the things that he did, he had to have been married at one point. However, he said, I wish you were all like me, okay? If you could understand what he was saying, being single, because you don't have the cares of taking care of, because see, when you're married, and that's not that, you know, God created us all to be single. He said, that's not it at all. He said, a man shall leave his mother and father, a woman shall leave his mother and father, they shall come together and become one. But what he was saying was that when you're married, you're not just concerned about yourself. The two have come together and they've become one. And therefore, you also have to be concerned about the welfare of the other one. You just can't go do what God's called you to do. Even though that's obedience to God, you still have to take care of your other obligations within the marital relationship and children and all those things. So you're going to have battles. But there's an empowerment from God that's available to us that will help us. And the Word tells us that we will win every battle that we face. I want you to turn with me, if you would, this morning. Knowing that you're going to be in a battle, here's something else you need to know. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And go to verse 12. Are you there? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now listen, was a good fight. I've been in fights. Let me tell you a good fight. A good fight's when I win. If I got whooped, it might have been a good fight, but it wasn't as good as if I won. Right? So the Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith, the one that we win. Right? And we will win. As believers, we're going to fight many, many battles. We're going to fight battles, and as we walk through the things that we walk through, we're just going to grow. And but what we notice is we've all been in battles before, and we win. Amen. John 10 and 10 says this. The thief comes only to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I've come that you'd have life and that you'd have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. That's the enemy. That's the devil. That's the liar, the wolf, who what he does is he comes after us, and then he'll attempt to scatter the sheep. That's what he does. He'll attempt to get you out of what it is that you've set your heart to do. See, the thief, the liar, the devil, the enemy, what he really wants to do is he wants to use us and abuse us. He wants to manipulate you, which is why, I don't know, but if you're like me, if somebody tried to manipulate you to get you to do something, first of all, I've shared with you many times before, they haven't loved you if they did that. All right? Second of all, I can tell you right now, if you try to manipulate me to make me to do something, I probably am not going to do it. Just because there are people that I would help until they tell me I'm going to help them. That's what's expected of me. You tell me that I'm going to do it, I ain't going to do it. You say, well, that ain't a very good Christian attitude, Pastor. Well, I'll pray about it later. But I just ain't good at somebody telling me what to do like that. Right? And we resent it because they're manipulating us to tell, yeah, you're going to do that. That'd be like somebody coming in my office during work time and telling me that's what I'm going to do. I go, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to escort you out them doors and you're going to get in the car and leave. And they go, and if I don't, I go, then I'm going to get you in a headlock. And I'm going to ask you. Have one man go, I'm a 72-year-old man with prostate cancer. You want to fight? No, sir. I just want you to quit hitting at me with the golf ball, please. They hurt. 72-year-old man with prostate cancer. The pastor trying to fight him. I asked him three times, please quit hitting the golf ball into me. Every once in a while, you may hit the best shot you've ever hit in your entire life and underestimate. But you don't do that three times in a round. You don't get like one of those ever. Right? So he was just impatient and Pastor needed help that day. Amen? 72-year-old man with prostate cancer. But the thief wants to manipulate you. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to lie to you, deceive to you, try to get you to do things. See, what do you think the enemy's doing when we know what the word says, let's say, concerning homosexuality? Okay, word's plain, right? He loves them, but he don't like that. He loves an alcoholic. Right? But he doesn't approve of them getting drunk, right? Okay? So what's really trying to happen there? What happens when the world comes out and goes, well, you know, for you to tell them that that's not pleasing to God. You know, that's not a very loving attitude. You know, you're not a very tolerant person. You're a homophobe. And I go, I am not a homophobe. Phobe means I'm scared. And I ain't ever been scared of a gay person. Right? But that's what they try to tell you, that you're intolerant. And you go, what is that? That's the enemy trying to manipulate you to back you off and to make you have a second thought to whether or not that you share the gospel with somebody, the truth. Now, the Bible does say speak the truth in love. So you don't go and say, oh, queer, all the hell, you're going to bust hell wide open. All drunks, all drug addicts, all liars. Hey, how about a liar? The Bible says God hates a liar. Right? And that liars ain't going to make it into heaven. That's, you know, we can use alcoholics and gays and all that other stuff, but how about lying? Well, just if it's convenient. Called in sick, and you wasn't sick. You just didn't want to go. So see, he'll manipulate you and try to tell you all this stuff to try to get you to back off serving God and doing what God's told you to do. You're not tolerant. You're not showing love. He'll also do that with people that have family members in their life. There's a girl at Watson Clinic that's asked me to pray for her daughter. And we prayed for her Wednesday night. And her daughter's 21, in jail for meth, and won't talk to her mother because her mother won't bail her out because her mother says, I'll bail you out if you go to rehab. She won't go to rehab. And her mother goes, you got to get away from your father because her father, she's doing meth at her own father's house who's helping support it. But also the boyfriend is living with the father who's also, it was probably his meth in the first place that she got caught with, but he let her take the fall. Well, that's love, ain't it? And then she won't talk to her mother because her mother won't get her out so she can go back to that boyfriend who let her go to jail and the father. And I told her, I go, listen, I go, I know this, it's against everything that a mother feels to be able to do this. I go, but you are not doing her a favor if you get her out. I know the thought of her being there is bothering you, but she's better there than dead. The enemy's trying to kill her right now. And I said, and she goes, well, she does have a warrant in another county. And I go, well, good. As soon as it's time that they're going to let her out on her own reconnaissance here, make them aware of the warrant she has in Lake County and let her go get another 30 days to dry out. And, you know, these meth heads over here ain't going to drive to Ocala to see her, so you be the only one to go see her, and then maybe she'll begin to listen to reason. I go, but anything you throw money at, I go, hey, she had so many sores all over her body that you know, you have to pay for family members to even be seen by like a nurse or a doctor in prison. And so they wanted to go give money. And the nurse goes, don't go give no money. She goes, that's just that poison or that meth coming up through her pores. There ain't nothing you can do for it, but, you know, put a little something, put some Band-Aids on it anyhow. There ain't nothing you can do about it. And she bought her some socks, and of course Grady Judd ain't buying no underwear no more because he's like, inmates can buy their own underwear. I love Grady Judd. You know, I'll buy somebody some underwear. But he did say underwear ain't a necessity, according to Grady. So, but let me tell you, the enemy will try to manipulate you. That's hard to do. That's hard when you got somebody steeped out there. And then the enemy will come and go, no love, no compassion. How could you do that? Well, it's called enablement. If you enable somebody, they'll just keep on doing it. There's no incentive not to do it anymore. Fortunately or unfortunately, all them times I was going to jail, my mom and dad was in Japan. It's hard to help me from Japan. But made me wake up one day and go, what am I doing? And I don't want to do this no more. And I didn't. But the enemy will try to come to you and go, you're not compassionate, you're not loving, you're whatever. And not only that, they say it about me. Because they'll go, what should I do? And I go, I know this is hard for you to accept. But you've got to cut that off. You're not helping them. You're not. And what will happen is, as long as people are getting what they want, they'll help you. But as soon as they're not getting what they... A family member just keep on doing it because they love them, they love them, they love them, and they'll just keep doing it. Right? But all them other people that they're hanging out there with, when they've got everything they want and that person can't give them nothing back in return, whatever that might be, then you can just mark it down. They're on the road and they don't got no problems with that. You're out of here. Go have battles. And the enemy's going to try to abuse you. And the enemy's going to try to use you. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him because he said, I've got to go into this town. I'm going to lay my life down. He says, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So in other words, it sounded great that Peter would go, no, we're never going to let you go and do that. And by the way, Jesus had just told him, he goes, that's of God. You just got that of God. And then the very next one, he turns around and he says, get behind me, Satan, because he was not trying to get involved in the purposes of God and make the right decisions. We'll know what the right decisions are if we're listening to the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. If you don't have peace, don't move. Peace is your compass. You say, well, I'm praying about that thing. I want to do that, but I don't know. Well, when you get peace, you make a decision. When you've made a decision and you're getting ready to do it and you've got peace about it, then you do it. And you know what? Sometimes you can make a decision and you didn't have peace about it, but you know by the way everybody else around you is acting and coming at you that you've made the right decision, because that's the enemy throwing all hell against you, trying to make you upset that you made that decision. And you, right then you can go, laugh right in his face because he's a liar. You know, what's the biggest insult you can give the devil? Go, you liar, devil. The word says, I'm a child of God. The word says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who love Christ and are called according to. Battles are real, but victories are more real. You're going to have battles, but you're going to have victories. And we know that when we have a spiritual battle, we're going to win. And that's more real than the battle. We need the guidance of the Spirit of God, because there will be fights that we will not be able to win without Him. There's going to be battles just because of so much word we've got. As we speak the word, it's just going to go away. But not every battle is going to go away just because you're speaking word. There's going to be some battles that are going to go away because you're speaking word, you're praying down divine intervention, you're fasting, you're praying. I mean, you're Katie barring the door, bringing out all the spiritual warfare, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts and the flaming arrows of the evil one, helmet of salvation to guard that mind, will, intellect, emotions, feeler, thinker, chooser, sword of the Spirit, word of God, living, active, sharper than a two-edged, two-mouthed sword, my word, confessing what God's word has said about me. Sometimes it's going, you're going to use all the armor. You know, have you ever felt like you had a... See them Roman soldiers, they had that little bitty shield like this. you know? But then they had the big one that they'd stand behind. And on their shoes, they would have stakes that would go down in the ground where they could get deep grounded in the ground. And they'd be behind that big shield where they could just stand behind it and everything going. But this little one right here, they're going, you know? Like, what's that Captain America? Is he the one that had that little thing on the head? You know? Hey, have you ever had a day where you felt like you was doing that all day? How do some people put it? Something alligators, dodging alligators or bullets or whatever. But you got some days where you feel like that's how it's going, right? But 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere." So in other words, truth. Truth is going to be what sets it apart. The Spirit of God is what's going to go in there and move on our behalf. What else can be used as a weapon? Thanksgiving can be used as a weapon. Father, I've been through some stuff before, and you show up every time. I thank you that you did this. I thank you that you did that. I thank you that when I was going through this, you did this and that. I thank you for all the other battles. I thank you that you're good to me. I thank you that I'm your child and you're my God. I thank you that I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Thanksgiving can be used as a weapon, and it expands our capacity to receive. As we begin to just get our mind off whatever the battle is that we're going through, we're giving thanks to God. It expands our capacity to receive. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16:34. To the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Turn with me to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Verse 1. "Oh, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." In other words, it's saying He's done made everything. We can be given thanksgiving and praise and honor to God for what He's done. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." So, you're going to be in battle, but you've been anointed for battle. And there's weapons that we can use, thanksgiving, praise, worship. But the good thing is that our victory has been guaranteed. Jesus has guaranteed the victory for our lives. Look at 1 John 2, verse 27. Hey, do you have that in the Amplified, Dougie? 1 John 2:27 in the Amplified. "But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, or the unction, which you receive from Him abides permanently." In other words, not just part-time, not just half the time. Remember I said, when you get ready to do something wrong, you won't have to worry about if you know if it's right or wrong. You'll know it because He lives in you permanently. So it ain't like he goes to sleep at night and don't know that what you're thinking about or what you're getting ready to go do. I mean, that's not a scare tactic from your pastor. It's just saying some people act like that nobody knows. Well, God knows, because he's permanently in you, so that you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. So listen, here's the deal. If we're listening to the voice of God, the anointing is teaching us not just about the battle and not just this other stuff, but even how to have a relationship with him. Just as being rooted in him, knit in him, that's relationship. Just as his anointing has taught us to do. You can say, well, I don't know how to draw closer to God. Oh, yes, you do. Because his anointing is teaching us to do that. Hey, that little voice that says, you go, I got this to do, I got that to do. What about the little voice that says, you know what? Sit down, get out the book, and pray. I ain't got time for all that. I'm telling you, you ain't got time not to do it. I'm telling you, if you took the time to do that and honor him first, the rest of your day would go better, even if you were 5 minutes late. And then next time, get 5 minutes over and say you're 5 minutes late. I was teasing with Pedro. I'm going to get him to help me with the greeting and some other things around the church, because he's hungry to do some stuff. And I said, I'll tell you what, Pedro. I go, need you here around 10. So why don't you just consider it official that you be here by 9? Because, you know, he's had a tendency to be a little late before. Like when I was praying to let y'all go home sometimes. But he kept telling me, he goes, look, I'm not really like that. If I got a job to do, I'm going to be there. So Courtney calls up and goes, Dad, what? It's 9 o'clock and Pedro's already here. You supposed to be having a meeting with him? I go, no, but I need to let him know that I was just doing that to mess with him. I figured if I told him 9, he'd surely be here by 10. But he had already told me, he goes, look, if I got a job to do, I'll be on time. So I told him today, I go, look, if that's the way you're going to treat it, then be here a few minutes before 10. You don't need to be here 9. I go, I was just messing with you, trying to get you here by 10. He took me at my word, didn't he? And Chandy's going, I told you, like she, hey, I could tell she had another hour, you know, and she would have been a whole lot nicer as the day goes on if Pedro would have let her have one more hour. She goes, I told you he was kidding. Burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed because of the anointing. That's what the anointing does. What's a burden? A burden is anything that holds you down. A yoke. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is what they put around mules and cows and stuff like that and put it around their neck so they can put reins to it so they can guide them where they want. Have you ever had stuff on you where you felt like you was just being led around by the situation and the circumstance rather than you know, being free to move and do what God's told you to do? You don't want that yoke around your neck. You don't want that heavy oppression around you. The Bible says that the anointing, that word in the Greek that they've interpreted destroys, really could be interpreted obliterated. And when I think have obliterated. I just see it going in a million pieces, just broke off like that. Burdens. People go, well, I have a burden for the Lord. No, you don't have a burden for the Lord because the Lord lifts burden. He's the burden removing God. He may have laid something on your heart. He may have put a desire there. He may have put a job for you to do. He may have called you. But he didn't put no burden on you. He removes burdens. He's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. That's what the anointing is. His burden is light, right? Yoke is easy, and the burden is light. He wants to do us good, doesn't he? He wants to give us a future and a hope. Turn to this verse, because you probably ought to underline it in your Bible. Isaiah 10:27. Isaiah 10:27. In that day, that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke is obliterated or destroyed because of the anointing. And that day is when Jesus came. Jesus has come. So that day has already come. To anoint, you know, when we talk about baptism, there's some people that sprinkle people. And that's their baptism. Well, the word baptize means to immerse. It means to dunk, is what it means. So how can you sprinkle somebody when it means to dunk? I don't know where the custom came from. Maybe it was cold weather and they couldn't break through the ice to get them in there. I don't know. But here's what I do know. It means to dunk. So we take baptism literally, and we dunk. All right? But some people don't understand what anointing means. But anointing means, and that's why we'll say, if there's any sick among you, let them come before the elders of the church, and they'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's why we'd have you come up, and we'd normally put oil on you. But it literally means to rub or to smear. To rub or to smear. Actually, in the Old Testament days, they'd take a ram horn, which is big, and fill it full of oil, and they'd pour it on top of their head, went all down their hair, all down their face, all down their garments, and it got them wet with oil all the way down to their feet. I'd have to take you on the lake if I was going to do that. But here's what the anointing is. It's God rubbing or smearing his wisdom on us. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is God rubbing and smearing his wisdom on us. That's what it's doing. And let me tell you something, the anointing will cost you something. Obedience. It's going to cost obedience. We got to pay the price through praise and prayer and obedience. And we need to spend time with God and get a revelation. Like that word said a minute ago, that the Holy Spirit is teaching us even how to have a relationship. You say, well, I don't know how to get closer to God. Well, the Bible says he'll teach you. There was a guy yesterday that said, I was listening to him, it's a guy that I know, wrote a book, and when he wrote the book, he was being interviewed on a Christian television, so he sent me a YouTube of it, and he said, and one of the first things he said was, he goes, I don't have scripture on this, but I believe it's true, and you know what the first thing, I'm so programmed, I'm like, well, I don't even care what you think. Because I really don't. If you can't give me, If you can't give me Bible, I don't care who thinks it. Better give me Bible. Because if it ain't Bible, I'm not believing it. I don't care what people think. What does the Bible say? And if you're going to tell me that you believe God said it to you, you better show me some Bible. Because if it was God, there's Bible to back it up. That's God. That's how he operates. If you get away from that, you're not doing it right. God will speak to you. He'll speak to you directly. He'll speak to you revelation that we might think that nobody else has. But remember, he says, I've got 7,000 people that never... You know, here's Elisha thinking he's the only one. Elijah thinking he's the only one. He goes, I got 7,000 prophets that have never bowed their knee to Baal. So don't think you're the only lone ranger out there. If he's spoken to you, he's probably spoken to other people, just not everybody knows everybody. Right? But get word on it. So if you say, well, I believe the Lord was speaking to me, good. Where's your word? It's going to be the first thing I'm going to ask you. Where's your word? Give me a word to back up. If that's true, then God will give you a word on it. When we face battles, we have to understand that we can do the impossible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about this before? If you take impossible and separate the I am from the possible, what do you got? I'm possible. All things are possible with God, right? With him, the scripture says, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. Except goofy stuff. Some people are asking God for goofy stuff that don't even line up with the word either. So guess what? That's going to be impossible because it don't line up with the book. We got to deal with things that grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we know what's a grievance to the Holy Spirit? One of my favorite portions of Scripture is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I want you to turn there with me. Ephesians 4, verse 30.
Instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, if I have the mind of Christ,
Christ than I do. And if you have the mind of Christ and you do, then that means that just because we have a thought come to our mind doesn't mean it's our thought. But we have the mind of Christ, so we can distinguish whether or not that it's our thought. Does it line up with the thought that Christ would think? Well, how am I supposed to know what Jesus would think? Well, does it line up with the book? That's how you know. I don't think Jesus would sit back and let them do that either. Oh, really? I don't think Jesus would. I love it when I hear people say, I don't think Jesus would. If they just probably taped it on a tape recorder and you played it back to them, they probably wouldn't have to. You know how people are when they're busted? They go, yeah, I know. My heart wasn't right about that. The Lord is our might in battle. Who is the King of glory? The Word of God says, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And wisdom is knowing what to do when you yourself really wouldn't normally know what to do. That's wisdom. Wisdom is that you and I know what to do even though in that normal circumstance we wouldn't have known what to do. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, the absence of fear, the Lord's already placed that in our lives. That's there in our lives to know what to do. So people were so impressed by Jesus' wisdom that they wondered about the source of his power. In Matthew 13, 53 and 54, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, and coming to his own hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, and think about this. Not only did they ask where they get it, when Jesus had been crucified and the disciples were hanging out, they go and they took note that these men had spent time with Jesus because they were answering in a way that they were bold. And they'd go, look, I hear what you're saying, but who's it better to obey, you or God? And they're going, wow, what boldness. And they observed that these men had spent time with Jesus. So let me give you this morning, I'm going to give you some stuff. Write it down because I think it's important for you. Here's your battle plan for victory right here. You ready? Your battle plan for victory. Believe the Bible. You got to start there. Believe the Bible. The Bible says that it is God-breathed. In other words, if you ever get the thought that was just written by a bunch of men, he was writing to this one and writing to that one, and that's not what that means, and you don't take the Word of God literally, you've gotten yourself in trouble. God breathed into men who wrote exactly word for word, every jot and every tittle, word for word what God wanted to say, and for years, hundreds and thousands of years, it's been passed on without change for God to get his point across to what he was trying to say to mankind. So the first thing is you got to believe the Bible. You got to believe that Mary was a virgin. You got to believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. You got to believe that Jesus was without sin, yet he was tempted in every way like us. If that's the case, Mary Magdalene wasn't his girlfriend and didn't bear him no children. These flaked out people out there preaching that mess. Or that God used to heal, but he don't heal no more. God used to perform miracles, but he don't perform miracles anymore. If the Bible says it, then you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, then why do you even believe that you're saved? If Jesus isn't who he said he was, then we've wasted our time here today. If Jesus didn't do what Jesus said we've wasted our time today. Here's the second thing. Read and study the Word. Know it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, we get the Word of God on the inside of us, it will renew our mind. When our mind mind's renewed, then what God's already done in my heart is going to line up with what the Word's doing in my soul, man. It's going to line up. And then I'm going to know what to do. And then I'm going to know what to say. And then I'm going to know how to act because I know God's Word. What does the Word say? How do I act in this situation? What does the Word say? What do I say in this situation? Well, what does the Word say? Might say you don't say nothing. Sometimes nothing is the best answer. I'm going to tell you what. Do you know how many times I've written an email and I've done poked my finger, slapped through the computer, hitting them letters, man, I'm fired up, I'm tapped, or on my phone. And of course, that ain't very quick because I can't hardly see them, so. And Kim can hear my phone going tick, 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 huh? Yes, you may be turning off. But do you know how many times I've gone to write that scathing email or whatever just to give people a piece of my mind and then just went through and erased the whole thing? Because you know what? When you really think about it, sometimes I've written the same email 3 or 4 times and wiped it out every time. Because the Spirit keeps checking me and going, and what good do you think is going to be accomplished by sending that? And I keep going, I know, Lord, I know. And then I think about it for a few minutes, and I'm... Sometimes Jesus said, hold thy peace. You know what that means? Shut up. Sometimes we just need to shut up. Address that plan. Renew your mind with the Word. Exchange your thoughts for His thoughts that are found in the Word. If you have the mind of Christ, we think like He does. If we've got the Word on the inside of us, we're going to do what He would do. The next one is honor the Word by making it the final authority in our life. In other words, instead of us saying, this is what I think I'm going to do, I tell you what I'm going to do. How about this is what I'm going to do because that's what the Word says I should do. Listen, circumstances, situation, and trouble shouldn't hold more weight than the Word. What does the Word say to do? Doesn't matter what the bill collector said to do. It don't matter what the financial planner said to do. It doesn't matter what everybody else said to do. My non-Christian brothers and sisters who just want to save me from God. You ever had any of them? Just want to save us from ourselves. You know them ones that they're like, well, you know, I know how you used to be in the drugs and the alcohol and all that, and you needed something, so now religion's your crutch instead of the drugs and the alcohol. I'm just a weak person and had to have something, and since it couldn't be drugs and alcohol anymore, it's just God. Thank you for helping me. Love you too. Appreciate it. You're goofy. Go there. Set your mind on victory. Expect that you're going to win. If you're doing what we've just talked about, set your mind on victory. Have an expectation that you're going to win. You know, I used to wrestle through high school. And when I wrestled through high school, my first year I was heavyweight. Well, but I was just barely heavyweight. I mean, just barely in that weight limit. I mean, a couple more wrestling practices, I might have been like 185-pound category, which I later was. Then I went from heavyweight to 185 to 168 to 158. All right? But the people I was wrestling at heavyweight One of the guys weighed 270 pounds. His name was Robert Kelberg and had a big ponytail down to here. And I mean, that dude just come out there. Now, the first time I went out there and wrestled that guy, and there was another guy, Bill Kirby, was a big fella too, and stuff like that. I'm thinking, you know, you want to act cocky because you're a man, you know. So I'm out there like, yeah. But I'm thinking, that dude weighs 270 pounds. 270 pounds. Hey, he gets on top of me. You think I'm going to move? So you know what? I went the first year undefeated. And my wrestling coach was shaking his head. Because I'm going to tell you, I didn't think. You know, when I first started wrestling, I'm thinking, yeah, I think I can take him. But I wasn't real convinced. And it didn't help at the end of the year when the coach come up shaking his head, talking to my mom, going, he goes, I do not know how in the world he's undefeated. He goes, because on paper, he shouldn't be beating none of these people. But I beat them all. But don't think that wasn't in the back of my mind, which I think gives you a little bit of reverence and fear and respect. That, you know, if I ain't paying attention to what I'm doing here, I could go down. Well, you know what? Every time we're going through something, you ought to be thinking, if I don't pay close attention to the word here, it ain't going to end like I need it to end. You know what I mean? If I'm not paying close attention, if I don't have a respect and a reverence, that if I don't pay attention to what God is saying, I'm not going to like the outcome. Boy, if we would have that attitude every time we went into a situation, we'd address the situation different. You know, how many people play pro ball that shouldn't be playing pro ball? I mean, remember little old Gary Hubbard was a second baseman for and a military brat. Played second base for Atlanta. There wasn't nobody else in professional baseball his height. He's like 5'2 or 5'3, a little bitty old short dude. Be hard to throw him a strike, I reckon. Somebody like that. And when I went to some of the Boston games and Cleveland games, he'd come over with Atlanta. He was like one of the base coaches or something over there. But I mean, he broke all the, you know, all the, Michael Jordan didn't even play basketball till like his junior year in high school. He couldn't even make the team, you know, and then grew all those inches in those last few years. That guy last night that was pitching for the one team, he had a surgery that no other pitcher in the history of the world's had that surgery and still come back and throw, and he had a tattoo down the whole scar to kind of cover the scar, but man, that was the ugliest looking scar I ever seen. I mean, how many people have just, everybody goes, there ain't no way that's going to happen for you, that ain't no way that's going to happen for you, and then they wouldn't listen and look where they went. You know? Colonel Sanders used his story all the time. Obey the word. Do the word. By obeying it, you're going to stay connected to God. Understand the covenant. Understand, read Deuteronomy 28 over and over and over and over of all the promises that God promised Abraham that he said he's going to do for us. He said sickness and disease will not be in your dwelling or in your home. He said there'll be no barren womb among you. Right? I mean, sickness and disease ain't going to be in my house. I'm going to be happy, healthy, wealthy, blessed. Understand your covenant that you have. Use your mouth as a weapon. Use your mouth as a weapon. The only offensive weapon that you have is the word of God. But it don't do any good just to have... In other words, you can't take... Let me say this a minute. You just can't go... When a situation comes against you, you can't go like this. You can't go... What's that? I'm using the word. No. Here's how you use the word. The word of God says. God's word says. You can't just hold the book up. Look. What's that, Reader's Digest? You have to speak it. Speak God's word. And and speak God's word over every situation. What does the word say? Right? It doesn't say I can't. The word doesn't say I can't. The word says I can. The word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That's what the word says. I cannot be defeated and I'm never going to quit. Winston Churchill, there's several speeches that he gave, but in some of the most awesome speeches he ever gave, he just walked up to the podium, used pause, and didn't say anything. He just looked around, cleared his throat, looked around, and you know, they were going to pay him like all kinds of money for these speeches, and he would clear his throat and he'd go, never quit. Never, ever, ever quit. And he'd go sit down. Well, we paid you for a speech. He goes, keep your money. Sometimes the less said, the better. Hey, does that not get the point across? Never, never, never quit. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. That has to be our attitude about it. We are not going to let the enemy win in our situation. Speak the word. Learn how to rest in God. Learn how that once you've stood on the word, just to stay on the word and rest in it. Refuse to worry. Have peace. Rest in him. Keep your mind on the word. Walk by faith. And faith works by love. Right? Refuse to be selfish. Refuse to be fearful. Just operate by faith. Pray. Pray. Every failure in life is really, when it all boils down to it, a prayer failure. There was a disconnect in the prayer. There was a disconnect in that communion with God. Pray and commune with God. Stir up the spirit that's within you. Stir up that spirit of might. And don't quit. Be consistent. Remain patient. Realize that God has created you to win. God has created you to be victorious. And just rest in that. Amen? Amen. Stand with me this morning.